I'm going to give you a heads up on today's episode. You've heard it before, at least in part. Oh, it was rewritten. I put in the time to provide for some changes and to make sure everything is up to date. However, the topic is not new. In fact, while it's not an every year topic, I did cover it last year, and even then I felt compelled to consider it as a topic for today. I'm talking about what's about to hit us next Tuesday, a day that many of you will have off from work, myself included. Tuesday will be our country's biggest, most important holiday, in my humble opinion. I consider it our biggest and most important because of its historical significance and the number of people who both recognize and celebrate it. I'm talking about the 4th of July, or more formally, Independence Day, the day that's universally known as the birthday of the United States of America. It recognizes the date on which the Continental Congress formally adopted the Declaration of Independence, our letter to King George III of England announcing to him our intentions to shake off the shackles of British rule and oppression and to instead stand up and govern ourselves. The reason I think the historical focus of the holiday is a good thing to hear on something of a regular basis is because I have some fear that a lot of folks lose sight of that, of the good behind what brought us to be, due to any number of internal issues within our country today. Nearly 2.5 centuries ago, 241 years to be exact, people across 13 colonies took on immeasurable sacrifice overlaid with incredible vision that brought forth our country and gave us the freedoms that so many folks stand on to be able to squabble over any number of issues today. Well, for just a few minutes today, let's focus on the fact that we live in a country of innumerable freedoms and on the people and events that gave us those freedoms. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. So today is going to be something of a repeat topic. Yeah, that's true. I've never made any secret of the fact that there are a small handful of topics that, tied to the calendar, I choose to recognize in some form every year, or most years anyway. Independence Day is one. I think it's that important. And if you're waiting for me to tie this episode to the outdoors or Bristol Bay, well, it might not be as direct of a tie as normal. However, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that a lot of the things that we get to do outdoors are because of where we live and the freedoms we have. So there is that. With that disclaimer out of the way, let's give thought to one of the truly great things about our country, its history, and specifically, how it got started. The Revolutionary War, that hard-fought war that gave us the freedoms we have today, started up in 1775 and ended in 1783. It was a true David and Goliath kind of matchup, something that sounds like a story straight out of today's modern Hollywood. In the first century and a half of existence, the people of the American colonies had grown to be a little more independent with the passing years. Britain was a long way away, and colonists wanted to have more of a say in how they lived and governed their lives. In the second half of the 18th century, Britain, under the leadership of King George III, made efforts to extract harsh taxes from the colonists to help pay off debts from Britain's war with France. Further worsening the situation was George's insistence that the colonists not be allowed representation in British Parliament. This situation gave rise to the famous phrase, "No taxation without representation." Impassioned and talented speakers such as Patrick Henry, Thomas Paine, Samuel Adams, and others called openly for an independent America. Tensions continued to mount, and in 1775, open conflict broke out with the battles of Concord and Lexington. I might note that these were the battles for which Paul Revere gained fame, for his nighttime ride to warn the colonial militias that the British were about to move on them, though he certainly was not alone in this task on that night. Our country's birth date is July 4th because that just happened to be the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed by the 56 men representing the 13 colonies. The vote for independence actually took place on July 2nd, and John Adams, in a letter to his wife Abigail, trumpeted about how July 2nd would forever become a date celebrated by the generations that would follow. Alas, though voted through on July 2nd, it was formally adopted 2 days later, and from that time it's been the 4th that we have celebrated as the birth of American independence. An ironic footnote to that date is that more presidents, 3, have died on that date than any other date in history, including John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the man most responsible for the Declaration's authorship. Both Adams and Jefferson, longtime conspirators, colleagues, and friends, died mere hours apart on July 4, 1826, the 50th anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. The third president to die on that day, in case you're wondering, was James Monroe. But I digress. Let's get back to the document that heralded to the world that forevermore we would stand strong as a free nation. The Declaration of Independence was nothing more than a formal letter to the King of England, outlining why we chose to pull away and form our own country. It sets down why we felt it necessary, the charges against England that compelled it, and detailed, to some degree, our future intentions. The Declaration was drafted by a then 33-year-old Thomas Jefferson between June 11th and June 28th, 1776, and edited by some of his most trusted colleagues, including Benjamin Franklin and John Adams. This letter is considered one of our nation's most cherished symbols of liberty, and Jefferson's words express the convictions in the minds and hearts of the American people that he represented. So, think back to high school. How much of our country's official statement of freedom do you remember? It used to be commonplace to have to memorize parts of it. Does history class seem like a million years ago? If you're as old as me, maybe that's not an awful thing, but if you recently graduated, well, perhaps a bit of guilt is completely warranted. Let me help out. I'm going to read the opening paragraph and most of the second. I'm going to omit the long list of grievances we had with England. Feel free to Google them at your leisure if you want to know specifically what it was that drove us to war. I'm also going to add the last part of the closing paragraph. Are you ready? Okay, here goes. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government, and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Maybe hearing those words doesn't do anything for you, but I hope it does. Here I am at age 50, with a half century of my own on the books, and I still get goosebumps reading and hearing those words. Our forefathers, with so much to lose in the face of such a great and powerful opponent, agreed to cast their lots together and do what they felt was right while standing together. Obviously, it wasn't as easy as all that, the simple writing of a letter. But it was a start, from which eventually came, 8 hard-fought years later, great triumph. For many people, Tuesday will be a day off from work. For some, it might even be an extended 4-day weekend. A lot of folks will shoot off firecrackers and fireworks, and, well, I know I will. But do take a moment to remember why it is you have the extra time off. Yeah, we seemingly have a lot of problems in our country today. The news is certainly filled with it. But try to remember that it was founded on a wonderful set of principles and done for good reasons. That foundation is still there, and it gives me pride to be able to remember the efforts that brought it about and provides me with the freedoms that I enjoy today. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.